Harlan's a hot topic again after Sam sneakily triple-captained him. We discuss if downgrading him is an option as we browse the best budget forwards. And apologies, there's a fair bit of singing involved today. Hello guys, it's Thursday, FPL Pod back with you. Another busy week of League Cup action, but we're here to... Well, talk through it all because we've got Jules here and that's Jules' job, isn't it? To watch all of the football in the world. Hello. And also to look ahead to game week. I had to just check what game week it was. We're at that point of the season already. It's game week 10. We're in double digits. Hello as well to you, Sam.
Hey, Kelsey, you okay?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. I can't believe we're on game week 10 already. We'll come on to the League Cup action in just a moment. Jules can bring us up to speed. Been a busy week. Ten Hag was sacked. We'll also talk about that. But firstly, let's reflect on how we did in game week 9. Who wants to go first? I would like to go first because I actually came out on top for once. But Sam, you're going to go first.
Here we go.
Because what happened, Sam?
I played my triple captainship.
Yeah. Kept that one quiet. In fact, if we just, I don't know, we probably can't do this. We definitely can't. But I would like to kind of paraphrase what you said last week
when I said,
is Erling Haaland essential? We basically all agreed, yes, he probably still is. Mm-hmm. Would we triple captain him though? What did we say, Jules? I think we all basically were unanimous on no, weren't we?
Yeah, we said like, it could be tempting, but
in my defense,
sure it is.
No,
there's
in my
no defense.
Yeah, there is, Jules, because in my defense, there is, because we recorded last Wednesday and then Man City played Champions League
on Wednesday
evening. So you're
blaming the pod being a day early. Oh,
I am. Okay. Yeah, it's basically your fault because I was absolutely not doing it. And then I watched Man City in the Champions League on Wednesday.
Against
the
League Two team. Yeah,
but that's not the point, Jules.
The
point is, he does this little cute little back flick, and I was like, oh, hello, are we back? And then it was against Southampton. And then honestly, I can't tell you how many times I turned the chip on and off and on and off and on and off on Friday because I was so unsure. And I was traveling with my family on Friday, and I was just like, I can't make a decision. And in the end, I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I made that decision about 10 minutes before the deadline to leave it on. And I did, in my defense, I did post it on social media. It's just that none of you checked. So, you know, it's your fault that you didn't know in advance that I'd done it.
Hold on a sec. How have we just been blamed? How was I meant to know what happened to your team when only you can see your team?
Oh, I did. I posted my team before the deadline and told everyone I triple captained him. But yeah, it was a very last minute decision. My thinking changed a lot on Wednesday evening after this pod. And I just thought it's an opportunity. And it so nearly went well. And then it didn't.
That is so Sam Bonfield. Yeah, it wasn't great. But it's so nearly, that's so English as well.
The second highest XG in his Premier League career. And
How many goals did he score? Do you know how many XG I have in the Premier League as well? Yeah, I've got super high.
No, but
I've scored zero goals, so.
But Jules,
matter.
Honestly, I was so frustrated because I was in Paris on Friday and walking around with Haaland and Foden playing, and the amount of times that Foden nearly assisted Haaland that afternoon, it was one of
can
those
I just,
where I looked at it and was
Sam,
like,
"Can
they
we also just
so
pause
better.
You a sec? Because not only did you triple captain Haaland, didn't you take a -4 to bring Foden in? You've
so
just glossed over that.
Triple captain chip, yeah. That's even
I did
less
take
points.
A -4. Thanks, Jules. Yeah, I did take a -4. Yeah, well, I had lots of issues with my team. So obviously, Jota was ruled out. After we recorded, lots of things changed because we already knew that Saliba wasn't going to be playing because he was suspended. We then found out that Jota was out for the weekend and subsequently now know that he's out till the next international break. So I had to deal with him. And then I also had a couple of other issues in my team. Obviously, I've got Barco as one of my subs, so I don't have a full sub bench to cover this anyway. Saliba was going to go, but then I was like, well, I didn't know what was going to really happen with Saka. As it happens, I could have left Saka, but had I left Saka, I couldn't afford Mbeumo, and I really wanted to bring him in as part of those transfers. So I thought, why not? You only live once, made a -4, play my triple captain chip, and here we are.
Do you regret it?
What, the -4 or the triple captain?
More the triple captain, because I saw a lot of people talking about the triple captain and people trying to get their head around whether it was a success or not.
It's not a success.
No, it can't be a success. One goal isn't a success.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't regret it, no, because I think it was, for me, it was the right decision in the end. And like you said, it could and should have been so much better than it was. Like, the amount of opportunities that he had in that game, like I when we watched Match of the Day, I was just like, I cannot fathom how he's only got one goal out of this one. So no, I don't regret it. Am I disappointed by it? Yeah, obviously. I think it's one of those, isn't it, where you, when you play a triple captainship, you want to make significant gains from it, and one goal isn't going to give you significant gains. So yes, it's disappointing, especially as he didn't get any bonus points either. So it was just the six. But I don't regret it. I think it's, you know, it's done. It's a chip that I've played it. I can move on now. Think about the other chips that still got left.
You were lucky I was in a good mood on Saturday, because I was about to send a lot of messages in the WhatsApp group. And pretty much every time he missed a chip. And then because I was in a good mood, I was like, nah, come on. Listen, I knew already this would be painful for you. So I just didn't add.
But were you being kind? This is
exactly
unusual.
I was in a good mood, you know. But it was funny. It was really funny from our point of view with Kelly to...
Yes.
Just see Alan, triple captain, and almost trying not to score every time so he didn't give you more points.
Jules, as for you, Areola didn't play, but Jackson and Salah saved the day again.
And Mbomo more
than... Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry,
than Nico and Salah even. My defence, as bad as ever this season. I mean, really... Really bad. I mean, Mickey van der Ven, really, he's only here because to trigger Sam at the time where I'm, because Spurs are useless defensively. I mean, they all are good players, but they just can't defend together. So I'm even wondering if they will ever keep a clean sheet ever again in their whole lives.
He went off injured
and
as well.
Injured. Yeah, yeah. So not good. I mean, Konsa, last minute goal, I was fuming. Robinson, the same. So you lose those points, not just me, but everybody who has a Villa or Fulham defender. It's probably the worst part of this game with Sam triple captaining Haaland and him, you know, not being able to hit a bound on. But it's just those late points that you lose and you think like, really? Come on.
And also and it's then, when you see it in your team, isn't it? So it says you've got like 60 and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've got 40. Great, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah. And then Areola was the surprise, and now I obviously have to do something about it because there's nowhere now after winning. Fabianski is not going to play again, I guess. So
we said that to you last week though, didn't we? That it was a time for a new goalkeeper.
You know, yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah, he would be on my bench. As
so
you
to
know,
clarify, Jules, do you sell your boys when they're injured?
No. Even injured, unless it's a long injury, they really very much take.
You're insane. Surely
and
you just have to sell them.
I can't name him, but I've had a complaint recently from a Paris-born and bred Premier League player that I was not. He was not in my team.
Is this for real?
This is what I have to deal with. This is what I have to deal with. You know, so some make it. Others, I'll have to wait a bit and see if I bring them in. But yeah, so Areola and Saliba, they have a place for life in the team and they know that.
So what are you going to do about Turner then?
So Turner, I mean, Turner for me, didn't even know he was still a footballer until I saw him last night playing. So he will have to go. And I might replace him with Henderson, which is who I can afford and who is... Have these.
You can't, having given me grief for all these weeks about Dean Henderson, you can't
it's
now get Dean
show.
Henderson.
Well,
Dean
I might get somebody else,
now
but
I sold
I don't
him.
Want...
That was the only positive that came with Spurs losing, by the way, in game week
yeah,
nine.
Yeah, that's true.
That
I thought about you as
and
well.
I forgot about it completely that I had Dean Henderson to go until I was raging about the Spurs result. And then Lee went, but don't you have Dean Henderson in goal? And I was like, brilliant. This was not the moment to mention
it's
that. But yes, that has made
weekend.
Me feel better. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, goalkeepers always seem to be a topic of conversation on this podcast. Normally Sam's headache, but they're Jules's this week. Okay, check in then on the FPL Pod Mini League. James White is top of the tree. He played his triple captain on Haaland. He also transferred in Bruno Fernandes this week, which was, of course, ridiculously unlucky as Bruno had 5 of Manchester United's 18 attempts on goal, more than any other United player. He also created 3 chances and had a non-penalty expected goal involvement of 0.74. He was, of course, much more effective in front of goal in the League Cup in midweek though, so I'm sure I'll be happy with that transfer going forward. Charlie Shepherd rises to second. He captained Mbeumo this week. What a move that was.
Yeah.
But he did sell Saka for Son. Presumably they went quite early on that transfer, which I'm sure would have been incredibly frustrating. Jules, before we move on to talk about some of our bigger topics this week, a word on the League Cup games, because 13 of the 20 Premier League teams have been in action this week. Anything to note from those games?
Yeah, so we mentioned Spurs earlier. Good win for them against Manchester City.
Hold on, I can't believe you've mentioned that before Sam has.
Yeah, because it's the biggest. It was the biggest game of the midweek.
But I'm surprised she hasn't mentioned it. I'm just surprised.
That's true. That she wasn't there. That's why, maybe. Yeah. So when she's not there, they win.
Doesn't
anyway,
care.
So,
yeah, that's true.
I was exactly. there when we won at home last time, okay, Jules. Okay, come okay. on.
Sorry. With a good goal from Timo Werner. Didn't think I would say that this season, but well done, Timo. That was really good, and he needed that. Arsenal away at Preston. That was an easy win. Newcastle beating Chelsea with Alexander Isak scoring again. Quite a strong team from Newcastle this time. So 2-2 for Isak now. We discussed him a little bit in the last few shows. That's good to keep in mind. Manchester United, as they always do, once when the manager is sacked, they obviously react with a very good performance. So they had 5 goals, 2 for Casemiro. Bruno Fernandes, as you mentioned, was very good too. Crystal Palace going to Aston Villa and win. That's a massive win for them. Eze scoring and then getting injured, which is not so good. And then Cody Gakpo with maybe the goal of the round for Liverpool away at Brighton, which, again, he's very, very good, but we're not certain that he would start in the Premier League at the weekend, for example.
That was a very good roundup. Didn't miss anything
Thank
there, Sam,
much.
Did you?
No, I think that was it. Did you say Spurs won? That was nice.
Did they win?
Yeah, enjoyed that one.
But will they win at the weekend, Sam? That's the question.
Don't know. And Van de Ven obviously picking up that injury. That's a problem for FPL too. Managers. Yeah, Solanke looked like he was limping a bit as well, which worried me slightly. But there you go, we'll see.
Another thing that's happened this week, I mentioned it at the top of the show, Erik ten Hag was sacked after the defeat to West Ham, that ridiculous defeat where they had so many chances. And I still can't believe, and he probably still can't believe, that they weren't ahead at half time in that one, but they weren't. They lost. What does this mean for us in FPL, Sam? Because as Jules mentioned there, and I mentioned it too, they had a positive response in midweek under Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, and we often see new manager bounce, don't we? Even if it is just with an interim coach in charge. And obviously they've got van Nistelrooy there at the moment. I think it will be, well, the performance in terms of last weekend actually didn't necessarily deserve the result that they got. They had a lot of chances on goal. They just didn't take any of them. But in midweek, they did. So I think now, if you've got a Manchester United asset, you'd absolutely hold them. And possibly they might even be a team that you now start to look to invest in, because maybe we see a bit of a change of fortune. But I think, yeah, if you're already invested, and actually they're still quite heavily owned, the Manchester United assets. They're a popular team to own in FPL. So if you have a Bruno in your team, or even if you've still got Marcus Rashford, Garnacho, players like that, you probably hold them and give them the next few weeks to see what happens. But could be a really interesting time for Manchester United, and potentially it's a good opportunity to get on a team early, because we've seen that they've got threat. It's just that they haven't been returning on that threat recently.
Okay, so watch this space on that one and what happens at Old Trafford. But over on the blue half of Manchester, we've already discussed Sam's decision to triple captain Erling Haaland. She certainly wasn't the only one, but we also discussed on the pod, Jules, whether he was essential. I mean, after 5 minutes, he scores and we're all thinking, great, massive haul. We didn't need to have that conversation. This is why we pay 15 million for him. But he then didn't get anything else, not even a bonus point. How worried are you, particularly in the light of the fact that Manchester City still have got some injuries as well? Kevin De Bruyne still isn't back as well. And I think service, for me, when I'm looking at Erling Haaland, the service to him is so essential because it does affect his points.
Yeah, that's right. There was a good cross from Matheus Núñez on that goal against Southampton. And it seemed that Núñez now is the starter on that left-hand side, because, to be fair, there's no Grealish, there's no Doku. Savinho seems to have picked up an injury now for Manchester City as well. We didn't mention in that roundup, but that didn't look good at all for him and for Manchester City. And he'd been on really good form for them. And we've seen that link-up play between him and Haaland as well. The great goal that Sam mentioned in the Champions League, for example, the goal against Arsenal in the League Two, that was Savinho's service for Haaland. If you take that away, and yeah, the Foden-Haaland link is historically really good, but you just take away ammunition for Haaland to score. This is what it is. So I'm not worried, and I still think you should not play this game without Erling Haaland in your squad. I can understand why you're asking the question. We can look at replacement. And as we always say, it all depends on who you replace him with and if that player or these players return to compensate what you'll be missing when Haaland returns, for example. But I just think it's too much of a risk and it's too highly owned to take the risk. Right now, we are a fourth of the season in. to get rid of him.
Some of his stats from that game then. 8 shots, 4 big chances, 2.33 XG. That's the biggest underperformance of the week. And he's only ever got a better XG once in his City career.
Never happen again. He will never miss that many chances.
And that's kind of what I was going to say, Jules, wasn't it? It's such an outlier. It's such an anomaly. Sorry, Sam, I know that's painful for you because it very is a case of what could have been.
We should all have triple captain him last weekend. It was a great decision.
I'm trying to move on from that, Sam. But the point Jules made at the beginning of that little dig was worthwhile in terms of it can't happen again, can it? If you're creating those kind of chances and having those kind of chances and your name is Erling Haaland, every other week, surely you're going to score them. Surely they have to turn into goals soon.
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those performances. And that's why I don't regret the triple captainship, because the underlying stats were there. I just feel like it was incredibly unlucky. And like, of those, like, 4 big chances, I think 3 of them were assisted by Foden. So it was definitely a case of what could have been in my team. Like it was one of those where, and I think for me, Jules is right in what he says, that it's really not about selling Haaland, because Haaland has the underlying numbers, particularly last weekend, to keep him and to hold him. And obviously doesn't play in the League Cup, so he's had that midweek break as well. It's more about what you would do with the money. So I think when you're making the decision about whether you keep Haaland, who's probably still going to win the Golden Boot, so it's not a question of, is Haaland good and should you have him in your team? It's a question of, if I don't have Haaland, who could I replace him with? And what could I use with that additional budget? Because if you move him and you go for one of the budget forwards, who quite frankly are just phenomenal at the moment, if you think about the Woods and Visser and Cunha and Jimenez as well, Welbeck. There's so many of them. It's like this real core of like absolutely brilliant returns from the like 6-ish million forwards. If you take Haaland and you replace him with one of them, and then you use that money to have like an absolutely stellar midfield where you've maybe got Saka and you've got Palmer and you've got Salah in there, then you can understand why people are doing it. If you don't do anything with that budget, that's where I think you then just hold Haaland. So you're basically having a conversation between, do you own Haaland or do you own more of the premiums in midfield? I think that's the crux of it.
The fixtures then, Brighton, Bournemouth, Spurs, Liverpool up next. Sam, are you tempted at all? Jules has made it very clear then he wouldn't consider selling him. I'm going to put my hands up and say I'm seriously considering, because I have Palmer, Saka and Haaland in my team, but I really want Mo Salah. And for the reason you just said there about budget forwards, it is so tempting. But I live with the fear of everything Jules has just said then as well. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not going to sell him. I think for me, the performance that we had against Southampton last week and the Spurs defence being what it is, even the Liverpool defence being what it is this season, like I think these are defences that he could score against. I think for me, my bigger conversation is the kind of second forward. So in my team, that's Ollie Watkins, and I could take significant budget out of him to use to upgrade a midfielder. I've also got quite a few premium defenders still in my team in Trent, Vardiol and Porro. So I could take some money out of the back line as well. And I think it's that conversation about where would I prefer to make some sacrifices in my team. And I think right now I'd prefer to sacrifice Ollie Watkins, knowing that I still have Morgan Rodgers, than I would Erling Haaland. I think I'm just going to hold him.
You've also, it goes back to our conversation the other week, you've also got the wild card as well. So you can kind of fix anything you need to with that.
In some ways though, doesn't that make it more likely that I would sell him having the wild card?
Yeah, because, I suppose. Because if it goes wrong, you can bring him back.
Whereas I can bring him back. So there is that plays in the back of my mind, which is why I was quite prepared to take the -4 last week and just make a few kind of rogue decisions around Arsenal. And all right, it didn't pay off with Saka, but I know that in 2 weeks' time when I hit the wild card, I can bring them back in. So not having an Arsenal defender for a couple of weeks, not having Saka for a couple of weeks was a sacrifice I was prepared to make at that point for the potential upside that might come with owning other players. And it should have maybe paid off more than it did last week. It certainly did with the Saliba to Vardiol move. But yeah, I think with the wild card intact, there is a conversation around, do I sacrifice Haaland for a couple of weeks, have
isn't your wild card booked in for game week 12? Is that still the case?
12, yeah. Game week 12.
Okay. Booked in as in like you appointment, everything.
She's paid a deposit
ready,
and everything. She can't go back.
Yeah. Paid a deposit.
Good. Yeah.
Next international
planning,
break.
You know, vision, planning, everything.
She's learning from
you. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You learn from the best. It's absolutely fine. I'm happy with that.
Okay, so we're all not going to sell Erling Haaland, but there'll be many managers that are considering it at the moment. And as Sam mentioned there, Jules, budget forwards, we do need to have a serious conversation about them because there are so many brilliant options. The both of you have already mentioned a few of them. And it feels like whichever one you pick, they're probably going to score, particularly Chris Wood. I have hovered over that transfer all week. I, unfortunately, on my wild card, went for the complete wrong one of them. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, is he ever going to score again? He did score and it was offside.
I mean, we did tell you that was a bit strange, but yeah, you know.
I don't know why I did it. I was being a sheep against someone else. Another friend recommended him. I nearly went for Welbeck over Pedro. Anyway, no more of my woe tales because we're all sick of those, including myself. Who are the best options in terms of points at the moment and in terms of value? Looking at the points per minute and all of that, it's probably Welbeck, but Chris Wood for me is the one, like I said to Jules, he just stands out. Who do you think?
Amazing. I mean, we love him, especially at that stage of his career. A bit like Welbeck, to be fair. Yeah. They are over 30 already. They know this. They're closer to the end than the beginning. So for them to have this incredible start of the season, 7 goals in 9 games for Chris Wood in the Premier League, this is just remarkable. It's just 1 goal less than the whole of the Manchester United squad, for example, just to, you know, have a little dig there. The only thing I would say about Woods, so incredible efficiency in the sense of he had 19 shots, 13 on target. The conversion, the rate of shot on target is amazing, especially if you compare to the others, for example. But his XG is 3.7. So he scored 7 goals off a 3.7 XG, which I'm not sure how sustainable this is because it's almost like twice more the goals that he should not have scored that he did score. So credit to him and to Forrest. Really good start of the season. Well done. I'm just not sure how long he can stay on this trajectory of scoring more goals than really he should be doing. So if you believe in stats and XG, but if you look at the game coming up, West Ham, Newcastle, Arsenal, Ipswich City. So the away games are tough and the home games are much more winnable from a Nottingham Forest point of view. So Chris Wood is definitely a great option and you know he's going to start. And again, you know that the service that we were talking about, Haaland, the service is there very much for Chris Wood. Gibbs White is going to come back and you've got the wingers and you've got the fullback. You've got everybody really working towards Chris Wood. So him as a centre forward and a focal point. So this is great. For Welbeck, the XG is 4.5 for 6 goals, for example. So this is much more normal, shall we say. But it's just I just think both of them have been incredible. Liverpool City, the next 2 games for Brighton, this is really tough. If you want to invest in Danny Welbeck right now, I'm not so sure. And the third one will be Wissa, purely because he's obviously Paris born and bred.
I'm just going to actually just clear up some of the waffly stats I said at the beginning of that. In terms of these budget forwards and the total points, it's actually Chris Wood that's got the most on 59, then Danny Welbeck on 57. That does mean that Chris Wood has got points per start of 6.6. Welbeck is 6.3 per
that
start.
That's crazy. Nobody could have seen that coming.
But Sam, it's not just because Vissa is Parisian that we should be bringing him in. 7.6 points. It's not a good reason. It's a reason for Julian Lebron and for no one else. Maybe other Parisians also do the same, Jules.
Yeah.
But Vissa, 7.6 points per start. He was out of the team for a while. I know loads of people brought him in on wild card, another way into that Brentford attack, providing the points from Bermo. We love that double up. One of my friends, by the way, actually bought in Vissa on his wild card. He was then out of the team, so we took him out. Brought in Dominic Calvert-Lewin and he texted me the other day saying Vissa has now scored more points since I sold him till now, more than DCL. So DCL has been playing all that time and Vissa has still outscored him.
That's annoying.
I won't name him because he won't thank me for that. He also sent me that text
His
holiday.
DCL thanks you, that's for sure. DCL.
Well, I'm also a DCL owner and yeah, I can also confirm that it hasn't been particularly fruitful owning him, especially when the likes of Welbeck, Wood have all been scoring and when Vissa, even when not in the team, has been outscoring him, Sam. But Vissa, a word on Vissa rather than mine and my friend's woes.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember back to game week 3, my plan was to bring him in for game week 4 and then he went and got himself injured. And it was just one of those moments where, like, you know, he'd obviously returned in all of the games before he got injured, apart from that game against Liverpool in game week 2. And then since then, he's come back. He played 24 minutes in game week 9 and then comes back in for game week 10. Actually, unlucky to only get the 10 points in FPL last week because they've subsequently given him the goal that he got the assist for. But obviously, that was after the FPL game week closed. So the points don't change at that point. So couldn't and should have actually had more points in FPL. I think for me, he is the cheap forward that I like the most. I just think the fixtures that they have coming up, obviously it's Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, Leicester, then Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, Brighton. Those fixtures look really, really good for such a long period of time for Brentford. And Bomo, like I brought him in last week. I enjoyed owning him for a week, but I'm also kind of thinking, well, he's becoming so popular now with FPL managers that it's going to be one of those players that actually doesn't really make much difference to your team to have him there because everybody's got him. So doubling up on the Brentford attack actually makes a lot of sense. And I think I think
it's not too risky to double up now because I've got Mbeumo and obviously I love Wissa too. It's just, and we said last week, didn't we, that they complement each other so well that they actually improve each other really well. And as we saw at the weekend, because they were both outstanding, but you don't think it's a little bit risky to double up on and have them both in your team?
I mean, it's always a bit of a risk, isn't it? Like, there's been nothing more frustrating in the last few weeks than having Morgan Rodgers and Ollie Watkins in my team because when they do well, then it's great. But like last week, when they both blanked, it has such a negative impact on your team. The thing is with Mbeumo and with Wissa is that you kind of feel like they're always likely to score. And like with Mbeumo over the last few weeks, it's been kind of like one goal here, one goal there, but really well, playing well. Wissa comes back in and suddenly it's like, wow, okay, well, we're getting multiple goals out of both of them. I just think owning the pair of them, that block of fixtures is the sort of fixture block that you would look at for a team and go, double up, don't just have one. And I think when you compare that to what we're seeing in others, like for me, yes, Welbeck, not for the next two, but come game week 12 on a wild card, I'll definitely be looking at him. I tend to agree with what you said earlier, Jules, like with a goal conversion rate of 36.8, how long is that sustainable for? I'm not sure that it is, not in the long term anyway. I really like Cunha as well. I think he's the other option. Like it's between Wissa and Cunha for me in terms of where I would go for a budget forward right now. Cunha's got 4 attacking returns this season, even after the horrific fixture run that Wolves have had to start the season to have 4 goals. Only 6 forwards in the game have more than that. He's had 27 attempts on goal so far against teams like Arsenal, Chelsea, Villa, Man City, Liverpool, Newcastle, Brentford, like horrible, horrible fixture run. And I think with the fixtures that they now have coming up, you would expect there to be more attempts on goal for Cunha and more attacking returns therefore. So, yeah, I think Cunha, Wissa, they're the way I would go.
Would you, if you couldn't afford to go to a Cunha, go to a Strand Larsen? Or what does Cunha have for you over him, Sam?
I like the Strand Larsen pick as well, to be fair. And I think if you've only got 5.5 and you haven't got 6.5, then you can absolutely do that. I just think that Cunha's attacking threat is a little bit greater, and that's why it cost you that million more. And I like the relationship that he has down that side of the pitch. So for me, I just prefer Cunha, but I can see why, like, a million's not, it's a lot at the moment in FPL, because a million is the difference between, say, having a Phil Foden and having a Bukayo Saka.
Yeah.
And at that point, when you're looking at it in that light, it makes a difference.
Okay, so you can go for a 5.5 million forward or around that kind of price point. Then you've got Wissa at 5.9. Then obviously you go up to 6.5. You can also open up this price bracket. I don't know where we go, how high up budget goes, to be honest. 7.5, you can go to a Mateta or someone. He's got 3 attacking returns. And then, of course, if you go between the 7.5, 8 million bracket, you also open it up to Jackson and Solanke. Have you still got Havertz, Jules, as well?
Yeah.
And how much is he? But I've lost track of where he's priced at now, but because I kind of forget that he's almost in that price bracket, isn't he?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you now. I don't even know myself, to be fair.
8.2, so he's just above it.
Yeah, 8.2. And 2 games in a row now without returning. Obviously, Liverpool at the weekend and then Bournemouth the weekend before when they played with 10 men for an hour. He scored in midweek against Preston, came on a half-time. I still feel that with Havertz, because I don't have Saka either, and I want an Arsenal attacker, he's a good substitute for Saka because I think he's very much always involved. They clearly play a lot on him. He's guaranteed to start all the time. And he's having a good season. I know he blanked the last two game weeks, but he's still having a really good season. And that's the only reason why I don't really want to let him go. But then Nico is doing really well for me. So there's no way I let Nico Jackson go now. He's improved massively. This is a team that will always score goals, Chelsea. They will always create goals as well from Nico, but also from others for Nico Jackson. Mm. So with Cole Palmer in that kind of form, I mean, we said that all the time, and you know, I talked about petitions before, but
not again.
Cole Palmer's second assist for the Nico Jackson goal at the weekend was just so beautiful. Neto gets the point for nothing because any people could have done that pass. And for Nico scoring the same, it's an absolute tap-in. But nothing for Cole Palmer, I felt that was a bit bad.
Excuse me, and I finally got Cole Palmer. Imagine what I was thinking, but it was a brilliant
You deserved pass. At least one or two points for that second assist. Thanks. But you know. So Nico Jackson is a must-have for me. If you look over the budget strikers. But for Havertz, I know it's Newcastle to come and then Chelsea to come, both away games too. I don't know. I really don't know what to do.
But Jules, like, this is really painful for me to say this because I hate giving you credit for things, but it's almost a good idea though, isn't it, to have Havertz and Jackson if you're not going to have Saka and Palmer.
Exactly. And
because I've got Saka and Palmer, yeah. So I wouldn't go for either of those two, but then you've managed to have Salah, so you've managed to get into that attack. It's all about covering off those attacks almost, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is one of the things that you need to kind of be considering. Like if you are thinking about going into one of the proper budget forwards and sacrificing, even if it is sacrificing a Havertz, to come down a little bit to free up some money. If you're doing that because you want to invest in Saka and therefore stay invested in the Arsenal attack, or you want to do it with Jackson because you want to invest in Palmer, then I absolutely think that that makes sense. If you're doing it and it's still not going to give you enough money to get to Palmer and Saka, then I almost think you're better off sticking with what you have, because at least you are invested in two of the most attacking teams that we have in the league. Because like in Jules' team, with Salah and Mbeumo, you probably haven't got many other expensive midfielders in there, have you, Jules?
No.
So if you take those two down, you're not going to be able to get to both Saka and Jackson.
I don't think so.
Saka and Palmer, sorry. So then you might as well just stick with the two that you have, because you've already used your wild card as well. So it's not like you can punt on players in and out and then wildcard a bit later on to get them back in.
No, that's right. But I think it's a very good debate to have over those budget players, or do you go for more established players? Look at Solanke, for example. He had zero shot on target in his last six games. Zero shot. Yeah. So you can have shots that are not on target and still this is a good chance and you could have scored, you were maybe unlucky. But if they're not on target, it's impossible for you to score still. Mm-hmm. And I think for him to have zero shot on target in the last six games, this is a lot. For any number nines, how good they are or not, how good his team is or not, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I know this first team still is all about wingers and all about wide players, and that's why Brennan Johnson has done so well and Son when he came back, et cetera, et cetera. But we all thought Solanke was a really good option at some point. I think the three of us had him.
Yeah, I've got him.
We've still got him.
You two still have him. Mm. I just look at that and say, I'm sorry, but zero shot on target in your last six games. This is, for me, this is not acceptable.
Mm. I'm very seriously considering selling him, because Sam, also as you mentioned, the good thing is Postecoglou is very honest in his press conferences, but depending on what Postecoglou said, if he's not fit, I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, as I've mentioned. I've also got Dominic Solanke. And that to me
feels like... You love a Dominic, don't you?
You
love
a Dominic, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Any other Dominic?
That's fine. Yeah. Dominic Szoboszlai. They put Szoboszlai in your team.
Good. You thought of that quickly on the spot then. I couldn't think of another Dominic. It feels criminal to be doing that at the moment in FPL when there are so many other good options. Like, how can I expect to be a semi-decent FPL player when I've got two awful forwards when there's so many performing? But I've also got this week, I'm going to have Semenyo on my bench because, of course, they play City at home, and waiting to see what's happened with Gabriel. And I've got Greaves. So all of a sudden,
you need a wild card.
Just play your wild card.
Anyone, FPL, hello? Anyone got me? I've got Cole Palmer now. Listening from FPL that can give me another wild card, because I could do with it. But if Postecoglou says Solanke's out, in a way, it does me a favour, because I'll be like, I have to sell him. But yeah, are you considering selling him?
Yeah.
But even if he's not injured, Kate.
If he's not injured, I think I might sell him this week.
But then I've also got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, so I'm like, who do I sell?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because like I, I mean, in an ideal world, I'd sell Ollie Watkins before I sell Solanke.
For the money.
Because of the money thing, because then that would allow me to upgrade in the midfield. As it is, like, I was watching, obviously, the Spurs game on Wednesday evening, and he did not look comfortable. Like, the last 20 minutes of that game, he's either absolutely exhausted and couldn't run for that reason, or there's something wrong with him, because he wasn't comfortable running or on the ball. Now, we have got Richarlison back, so that's another factor that plays into it. We expect Son to be back at the weekend. So even though Werner went off injured, I would expect Son to be back there. So there are options for Postecoglou in those positions. So if Solanke isn't 100%, then I could see him not risking him at the weekend. So all eyes on that press conference to see what Postecoglou has to say about Solanke. I could take him down to a Wissa or to a Cunha, one or the other. But actually, Cunha is just a sideways step. Like, there's no budget freeing up there at all. This would save me 0.5. So I could do that. But it's tough. It's tough to know what to do, because like I said, in an ideal world, these last couple of transfers that I make leading into my wildcard, I want them to be slightly fun, slightly punty for the next couple of weeks kind of transfers, because they don't have to stay long term. They can come in, they can stay for 2 weeks, and then I can ship them off again when I hit the wildcard button. So I would like to do some more radical things than deal with Dom Solanke. Like, I'd ideally like to just be able to leave him there. But as Jules says, the lack of shots on target and just his positioning on the pitch, like, he's not looking like he's going to return either. And I'll be at Spurs on Sunday again.
There's no chance.
Jules, I'm taking my little lady again, and she has been, this will be her 11th game at Spurs. She's never watched anything other than a Spurs win, which is quite frankly a miracle. So I'm taking her with me again in the hope that continues our run of luck with her. But Dom Solanke, like, it's a frustration, because if I don't have him, then I won't have a Spurs attacker, I won't have a Liverpool attacker, I won't have an Arsenal attacker, and I won't have a Chelsea attacker. And
I mean, who's in your team?
Oh, well, exactly. Jules, I ask myself the same question a lot. Who is indeed in my
Brentford,
team?
Brentford is great. Ipswich and Southampton. Yeah, lovely. I'm kidding.
I've got Brentford. I've got a couple of Man City attackers now with Foden and Haaland. But I don't know. Like, it's a really tough decision, because, as I say, what I'd like to do is free up some money from Ollie Watkins and potentially even from Trent, and use that money to have some fun, more fun punty picks in the middle instead.
Okay, then let's wrap up this section by ranking our budget forwards. Jules, we completely understand your predicament, but if you were to have a couple of budget forwards, let's say alongside Erling Haaland, because we've all said, well, I've said I'm tempted, but I probably won't sell Haaland because, as mentioned, I've got a lot of other things to sort out. Who would be the other two that would, if you were making changes, would you say the best two budget forwards at the moment?
So I'd go for Wissa. I agree with Sam, even ahead of Cunha, not just because of the Paris born and bred, but also the 5 goals in 6 games that he's played. The fact that, I mean, the injury was bad news for him, but he's still fresher because he's played less than everybody else too, even at the start of the season. And because of that relationship he has with Mbeumo and the fixture list coming up for Brentford. So we saw really ahead of Wood and Welbeck. And you know as well for Wood and Welbeck that as soon as you bring them in your team, they're going to stop scoring. You just know this is part of this incredible game. So I will go for Wissa first, and then I'm not sure about Wood for the reasons that we explained in terms of efficiency. I don't know how long he can keep it up like that. So I think Cunha, Ostra, and Larsson, if you're really looking at budget and don't have much money and not sure what to do, I'll go for either one of the two Wolves players, because as we've been saying for weeks now, their game's coming up are really winnable for them. And I think they will take a lot of positive from the late draw at Brighton, which they deserved. So yeah, I would go for Cunha, Ostra, and Larsson.
Sam?
Yeah, I agree.
This is weird.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anything else you want to add?
This is weird.
Thank you.
No, we should maybe give a little shout out to Jimenez as well, who has been returning well. And, you know, all right, nothing last week, but I think he is in the conversation as well. But yeah, Wissa and Cunha for me.
Sam, just a quick word, because there'll be a lot of people that still own Ollie Watkins as well. You mentioned there that you would like to sell him to take money out of him. How do you rate him at the moment as an FPL asset? Or is it the fact that there are so many cheaper options that are performing that maybe you should sell him to redistribute that budget?
Yeah, this isn't really a... my decision to take him out isn't really a reflection of Ollie Watkins' health. It's not really about him, right?
No, he's in decent form, yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of my question, really, because it's like, we're not talking about him. Also, because I think we take for granted the points he provides. And if he doesn't provide points, we're like, what's going on? Because we got used to it last season, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he does seem to be ticking over, but it feels like now, because there are these other options, and like I said, because there are cheaper options as well, he's a brilliant asset, but is he the best player to have in that position now, considering you can probably get points for less money?
That is exactly it, in a nutshell. That's it. Because
sorry, I didn't mean to ask and answer the question.
No, but you're right, because I think, like, with Ollie Watkins, like, I really like owning him. There's something reassuring about having Ollie Watkins in my team. Like, I enjoy having him there because I trust that he'll return points. He has been frustrating. Like, last week was so frustrating to have him and Rodgers there and then them both blank. That's annoying. And I think with Rodgers, you accept it, because at his price point, you can't expect a 5.5 million midfielder to return really good points every week. But when you invest 9 million in a forward, you really do expect them to return points every week. And so when he doesn't, I'm looking at all of those budget forwards that we've just talked about. Even Delap doesn't start, comes off the bench and gets a goal in that one, and he's 5.7. You've got all of these assets who are regularly returning, and 3 million. And that's the way you've kind of got to look at it, is that you're, you know, somewhere between 3 and 2.5 million that you free up by having one of these guys over Ollie Watkins. And so it's really not a conversation about Ollie Watkins. It's more about, if I take Ollie Watkins out and I go for one of these, do I feel like I'm making a massive sacrifice in my team? Not really. But also, does it make a massive difference to who I can have in the middle? Yes, it does. It makes a massive, massive difference. The thing that's putting me off slightly doing it is that Aston Villa play Spurs at the weekend.
And Liverpool then. And two away games, Spurs and Liverpool away.
Yeah, but also, Jules, like, it puts me off selling him against Spurs a little bit, because the Spurs defence, are we going to have Van de Ven there? Can we? If we don't, that changes the way that Spurs play. Like, we do need to hear that Postecoglou press conference. So I'm just going to wait a little bit before I make a decision. But my plan this week was to probably take another -4, because, you know, it's just fun at the minute. And, like, let's just get some players that I trust and I want to do well. Probably go for a Cunha or a Wisser. I'm not sure which one yet. And then use that money to upgrade one of my midfielders as well, to go for another premium there.
Okay. So plenty to think
big
about.
Plans.
Lots of options. Ooh. Yeah. And who knows what Sam's going to do come the deadline, because, as we know, she's become like you, Jules. You can't trust her.
Triple captain. She would triple captain. Oh, sorry. No. Yeah, you played that already.
I reckon she's told us the wild cards game week 12, and one week we're just going to look at her team and she's wild carded and not told us. That's
just Ipswich and Southampton play.
To be fair, if we would have recorded on Thursday morning, we'd have had a very different conversation about this.
All right, I'll take the blame. We had to record on Wednesday morning because of me. I'll take the blame. Okay, just a quick word on the suspension tightrope, by the way, guys. Harry Clark was sent off for Ipswich. He was probably in Sam's team as well. He's banned. Kudus remains banned for game week 10. Saliba does return from suspension. We'll have to wait and see, by the way. Gabriel, an injury doubt. Jules, what's the latest on him? Arteta seemed relatively positive, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Let's see what he has to say on Friday before the game at the weekend. But as we know with Arteta, just maybe take it with a little pinch of salt. But yeah, let's hear him.
Maybe have a decent defender on your bench just in case, if you are going to play him. There's actually 15 players currently on 4 yellow cards, by the way. One more, that does mean they're one more away from suspension. Some key FPL players in there as well. Not good news for me, because I've got two of these three. Ait Nouri, great. Semenyo, great. Van de Ven. There's a few others on there as well. Do check it out online. There are 41 players now on 3 yellow cards. Definitely don't have time to list all 41 of those. So just be mindful when you're bringing in players, how many yellow cards they have got, because we're still at that point where if they get 5, they will be banned. Okay, I'm having to rattle through it now. Differential of the week. Everyone knows what differential of the week is, so I'm not going to explain it. Well done, Sam. Vissa was your differential last week, got 10 points. Not well done for you, Jules. Strand last week.
I wasn't lucky, love him. Point. He played well. He still played
wasn't
well.
It this week you were going to take your T-shirt off or something? Or was that last
week?
Yeah,
I can't remember how that came up last time. But I can
Nobody knows. Something about anticipation, wasn't it?
It was about this point in the pod where you said it, but keep that T-shirt on, because okay, Strand Larson got 1 point. Who are you going with this week, Sam? You got the most... No, not you. Jules was about to speak, but I'm going to Sam go first.
I was going to say something else, but it's fine.
Okay. Go on, if it's good,
say it.
No,
it was not.
Going to threaten to take something else off, probably.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was trying to move us on quickly from that.
Right, well, in which case I'm going a bit No, you probably won't like this because he's a bit more expensive, but I'm going with Bruno Fernandes this week.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is
Kelly. No, I'll let you
Kelly.
Have that.
What? Yes, thank
Where
you,
are Manchester, Kelly. Manchester United haven't been in great form, so I'm happy with that. It's not like picking a City player, is it, George? Yeah. City, like champions for how many
still
years?
It's Bruno Fernandes, I mean.
And?
Okay. No. So he's,
also, but know, when she pricked Foden, he was Premier League Player of the Year last year.
Yeah, but
multiple
I mean,
champions.
Bruno
Manchester
was
United.
Not far away from that not that long ago.
How many?
Anyway,
how much is he owned by, Sam?
6.6.
Okay.
And he's going to cost you 8.2 million. Now, I wrote this before the game last George, night. Shush. So I prepped that's on Wednesday insane. Wednesday lunchtime.
Yeah.
We would expect some new manager bounce. And so that's why I'm going there. As Kelsey mentioned at the top, he had 5 of Manchester United's 18 goals, attempts on goal in game week 9. That was more than any other United player. He also created 3 chances in that one. He has had 28 attempts on goal so far this season. Only 4 midfielders in the game, Semenyo, Eze, Johnson and Palmer, have had more than that. He's also created 11 chances, but 5 of those have been big chances. He's taken 11 corners. He's had 5 attempts from set pieces. He's also coming up against the Chelsea side, who don't travel to Manchester United very well and have had no clean sheets in their last 4 matches. So I would expect to see some new manager bounce at home in front of the Old Trafford faithful. So, yeah, Bruno Fernandes, I think I am slightly tempted to go, if I do the Watkins down, to go with him in midfield just as a bit of a punt for the next couple of weeks.
Interesting. Yeah, you've got your wild card though, haven't you? So if it does go wrong, you can sort it out pretty quickly. Unlike me. Jules?
Can I name a superstar as well? Or because differential should not be over some amount
of
money as well. Sorry. So I was going to go. So Georginio Rutter, I think he's in amazing form for Brighton, but they've got a very tough schedule. We said that. I was going to go for Jean-Philippe Mateta, Paris born and bred. Also, so I could sing.
Jules, one
boom,
name.
Boom, boom, boom. Mateta's in the room. There ain't no better striker than Jean-Philippe Mateta.
We're running out of time boom, and yet he's singing.
Boom. But
it's not sung for ages.
It's pitch black where he is. You've just woken up everyone.
That's what I'm just saying. Sorry. So I wanted Mateta, but I don't want to jinx him because he's my boy as well. So I'll go for Dejan Kulusevski because I think he's in great form and to trigger Sam as well. 3.5% owned, so very much lower than a Bruno Fernandes, for example.
A superstar, though. You've picked a superstar. Well, Swedish not, one.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We can also sing, well, he's got a great song for himself as well. Yep. 6.3 million, so, you know, a bit expensive, but two amazing returns in his last 4, 11 and 9 points holds each time. I think that more central position in a way suits him so much, and he's got a great engine. He was, I think, man of the match against City. Yeah, in midweek in the League Cup. So I think he's in great form. And because of the struggle that we mentioned for Dominic Solanke, for example, and the way Spurs are playing, I think there's much more to come from Kulusevski. So if you've got that money, I think this is a right time to bring him into your team.
Okay, let's rattle through transfers and captains. Sam, you going to be honest?
I'm always honest, Kelly.
Are you?
Yes, Jules, always. My plan this week was to do Ollie Watkins down to I'm probably going to double up on Brentford. I'm probably going to go for Wisser. I think that's the move I'll make. And then probably use that money in midfield to upgrade. At the moment, Dwight McNeil is flagged, so keeping an eye on that one. Also going to keep an eye on what happens with Dom Solanke, because obviously if he's out as well, then that might change my plans. But if he's out, probably just do the sideways move over to Wisser. So I'll keep an eye on it, but Wisser in feels like the move I'm going to make.
Jules, what about you?
So the goalkeeper situation and Turner, the painter, that I need to change for somebody. I don't know. And then I think I might stick with Kai Havertz a little bit longer because I really like him and I don't want to be without an Arsenal attacker and like Sam.
Thanks,
Jules. No, but I mean, you're at peace with it, so it's fine, but I'm not sure I would be. So, and then if Van de Ven is out and also I've had enough of Spurs defenders already.
This is a lesson to you for not doing
it was only
things
to trigger
just
you,
to wind
to be fair.
Me up.
It was just to wind you up. It worked. But now probably to an Ait Nouri, who, by the way, I think I've failed to mention it earlier, but Ait Nouri is also Paris born and bred. So it makes a lot of sense.
You've mentioned it before, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I didn't know.
Captaincy, Jules, you've got to be captain in Mo Salah, haven't you?
Surely,
yeah. Mo Salah,
if you own Mo Salah this week, surely you captain him. If you're myself and Sam and wish we owned Mo Salah, who do we captain, Sam?
I am going Haaland again.
Yeah, triple captain him, maybe.
I can't, Jules. You could.
I would triple captain Salah.
You maybe could. Yeah. Why not?
No.
Why not?
I don't think so.
Just a no. So you're going to captain Haaland, yeah? Who are the other options this week, Sam? Do you reckon? Who else?
Well, the thing is, I think with the other options, they're all kind of like the differential players, aren't they? So if you want to go a bit out there, I mean, I think Salah is the obvious captaincy choice this week if you have him. I think if you don't, then I don't hate the Mbeumo captain again this week. I know it's an away match against Fulham, but I don't hate that. Otherwise, I think Arsenal, it puts me off because it's the lunchtime kickoff, but otherwise Saka is probably in the conversation. I wouldn't do it because it's lunchtime, but Saka's got to be in that conversation as well.
Okay. That does wrap up this week's pod. We got through that last bit pretty quickly, even if we did get a Jules song in there as well. Guys, thank you very much.
Please.
Okay.
What was the other song you said? Oh, Kulusevski. What's the Kulusevski song, Jules?
The ABBA
song. Gimme a ginger from Sweden.
We got Sam singing as well. Yes, this is a perfect way to end it. Sam, you just did that on a podcast record, which is going to be on a podcast.
Everywhere.
And on YouTube. And she's going redder and redder in the face. Let's end this. Let's end this podcast right then before I end up singing. A reminder, your deadline is 11 a.m. on Saturday. That's 90 minutes ahead of Newcastle versus Arsenal. Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday. Maybe Gianni and Praz will be singing as well. Hopefully they'll just be talking you through the Game Week 10 talking points. Sam will be back singing with me on the Fantasy Show on Friday. As always, please leave us a rate and review if it's nice. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. As always, the best of luck, and we'll be back singing and everything next week. Bye-bye.